Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto Jesus the Pharisees and some of the scribes who'd come from Jerusalem. So these were the leaders of the Jews who thought they were so righteous, but they were just so jealous against Jesus. They came all the way from Jerusalem to watch Jesus and try and get him in trouble. And when they saw some of his disciples eat food with unclean, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and the Jews, unless they wash their hands often, don't eat, because the tradition of the elders said that. This is going to be a theme of this chapter, about following traditions or following Jesus, and also about what makes you unclean. And they thought that if you just washed with clean hands, then you were clean before God. It didn't matter about what you're thinking in your heart. So the Pharisees and all the Jews didn't eat unless they had washed their hands very carefully and their arms. Whenever they came from the market, they didn't eat unless they washed. There were many other things there were which they'd received, like washing of cups and pots and brass vessels and tables.
Does that mean before breakfast or lunch or dinner, they would have a bath?
No, they didn't wash their whole bodies. The idea was that you had to very publicly wash your arms and your hands.
Why publicly?
Well, because they wanted everybody to see that they were so righteous. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands?" He replied, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites." Now, a hypocrite is somebody who acts one way when they think something else. As it is written, and he quotes from Isaiah, "This people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, because they teach for teachings the commandments of men." So it's possible to worship God, but in vain. Because they lay aside the commandment of God so that they might keep the tradition of men, like this washing of pots and cups and many such like things. And Jesus said to them, "You completely reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father or mother, let him die the death.' But you say, 'If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free from his obligations to his father or mother.'" So see what they did. They said that, it means literally a gift. And what the Jews were doing, they were saying, well, if you promise when your mum and dad are old that their house and their wealth will be given to the temple, then you don't have to look after them. Well, the Bible says that you should honour your father and mother and look after them. So they were trying to get round God's law by making their own laws. And that's why Jesus said you can either keep the law of God or the commandments and traditions of men. You make the word of God of no power through your tradition. Many similar things you do. When Jesus had called all the people, he said to them, "Now listen to me, every one of you, and understand." Now probably in the crowd there were all kinds of women and children and people who generally the Jews didn't think were very significant. And Jesus says, "Now look, all of you must listen and understand. There's nothing from outside a man that can enter into him and make him unclean. But the things which come out of him, these are what make the man unclean." In other words, don't worry about what you eat or what you touch. That doesn't really make you unclean before God. It's what you think about in your heart that makes you clean. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when Jesus had entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable, and he said to them, "Do you also not understand? Don't you realize that whatever from outside you enters into the man, it cannot make him unclean? Because it doesn't enter into his heart, but into his tummy, and goes out from him." He said this, making all food clean. So whatever food you eat or whatever dirt you touch with your hands, doesn't affect your heart. It's your heart or your mind. That's what the heart really means in the Bible. It's that which is important. And he goes on, because from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, murder, theft, coveting, wickedness, deceit, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from inside, and that's what makes a man unclean. So the source of sin is inside our hearts. It's not that there's some devil, like a monster that's wandering around putting bad thoughts into you and making you sin, or forcing you to sin. We sin because, as James says, we are attracted by our own lust, by our own desire, and then we slip into sin. So the source of sin is the human heart. That's clearly what Jesus is teaching. And this is a really important principle for our basic Christianity. Now, I visited a man many years ago in a small village who lived in a mud hut in Africa. And I asked him why he was sad. And he said, well, because my wife has left me and gone off with another man. And I said, what a bad woman. She shouldn't have done that, because he was such a nice man. And he said, oh, she was a good woman. But the problem with her, he said, was that every night she slept with her mouth open. And I said, well, what difference does that make? And he said, well, because she slept with her mouth open, the demons got inside her and they made her do this. And I said, no. And I quoted these verses here and I said, no, that's not what the Bible says, because sin, like going off with another man, is because you want to do it and the thought arises in your heart and your mind. And then you go and do the sin. So we can't blame anyone else for our sin. We must take complete responsibility. From there, Jesus arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He entered into a house and wanted nobody to know it, but he couldn't be hid. So you see how human Jesus was. He had human nature. He wanted a break from the crowds. He wanted to be in the house just with the disciples. He tried to hide himself from the crowds, but they found out where he was. Because a certain woman whose young daughter was sick heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Gentile. And she begged him that he would heal her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, because it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And this woman replied, yes, Lord, but the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way, your daughter is healed. And when she was come to her house, she found her daughter was healed. Now, what that woman understood was that the gospel, the great feast that was put on the table, was originally intended just for the Jews. And she was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. And so she said, a Gentile is someone who's not a Jew. And so she says, yes, Lord, that's right. But the children are throwing the crumbs on the floor, and I'm just a dog, a Gentile. I'm not a Jewess, I'm just a Gentile. And I'm happy just for one crumb. And I know just one crumb of that great feast that's prepared for them is to cure my daughter. And so because she was so humble and because she really did understand this, Jesus made an exception and he cured this woman's daughter. Although she was a Gentile, she wasn't a Jewess. Leaving there, Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee. And they brought to him one who was deaf and had a problem in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand upon him. And Jesus took him aside from the crowd. You see, Jesus wants to get us on our own so that our response to him is not because the crowd are doing it, but because we ourselves want to do it. So Jesus took this deaf man with a speech problem away from the crowd and put his fingers into the man's ears. And he spat and touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he could speak plainly. So Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. So he made the man even more deaf, so that the man might be cured and really be able to hear. So the way Jesus operated is just how he operates today. It might seem foolishness in the eyes of the world, but this is how he operates. Jesus charged them that they should tell nobody about this, but the more he charged them, the more a great deal they published it, and were just amazed, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak."